Rob, let's go right out to our guest line and welcome in Deshaun Tate. He is our Lansing-bred, Atlanta-based hoops savant. It's Tate's Take Hoops, where basketball lives. And we are joined by Deshaun from a different location, I believe, today. Where are you, Deshaun?
No, I'm here. I'm in.
Oh, you're still here. Okay.
No, I'm still here. Listen, it's getting a little windy. You know, the tropical storms,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. Hurricane Ian and everything else is keeping the phone ringing. And
I got you.
Quite busy, but nonetheless, listen, I'm here, man. It's getting closer to some hoops. The leaves are changing colors. They're dropping.
Are you allowed to say that in the state of Georgia? Are you allowed to mention hoops?
You know what?
As long
it's
as
cool.
The Bulldogs are undefeated.
Jack, of course. I'm gonna scream it to the heavens if that will surprise you. But listen, it's actually getting cool. You know, the late nights, early mornings, dew on the car, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's people getting ready for their hoodie season, which is always a good thing. Everybody loves the hoodie season.
Yeah, yeah. It's starting up here already. I've seen some people today, and I won't be far behind. But Georgia Saturday had an interesting game, I thought. It struggled for a little bit and then flexed, and I don't think it was ever in jeopardy of losing the game. It wasn't like Oklahoma. But nonetheless, some people start asking the questions, and they ask it every week. I'm an AP poll voter. And one team has a tougher game than expected, and everyone says, well, are they 1, 2, or 3? Do we move them up? Do we move them down? What happens? So I imagine this will all sort itself out in an SEC championship game in the college football playoff.
It will. I anticipate that's the way that it's going to go, obviously, with Georgia not looking nearly as good as some people feel like Tennessee has been looking. Rocky Top has been having a lot to frame about lately. And so, you know, that game against Kent State, you know, people anticipated a little bit more of a blowout. I wouldn't say it got as far as to where I thought Georgia was severely threatened to lose. But those who had that, what was it, 59 points or whatever it was, point spread on it, a billion point spread, weren't very happy with Georgia at all. But it was definitely a crazy day, you know, a little bit in college football. Of course, you had I know people in East Lansing are probably tired of hearing about this school, Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah.
With a big-time win over Miami. But I would say Kansas State, like you talked about, against Oklahoma as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, listen, it's getting crazier. I even put out there a nice little wager out there, Jack. I said, I'm going to take the Clemson Wake Forest over. Mm-hmm. I'll win.
Nice.
I take Florida plus 11 on the road against Tennessee. I win.
Nice.
And I'm going to take Utah versus a Herm Edwards-less Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Minus 16 and win. But I did a 4-pick parlay, and the one that got me was Wisconsin and Ohio State under. I picked the under, and somebody else is eating good lunch off of me.
You didn't count on those late touchdowns. It looked like what was the number on that?
I don't remember the number. I tried to erase it from my memory.
Yeah, it wasn't high enough, whatever it was.
No, it wasn't.
I was going to say, Rob, we just had figured out where we were going to get our loan here, but apparently Deshaun did not collect on that. So, yeah. Yeah, and it was an interesting day all around the country, and even in Ann Arbor. I don't know if you saw the opening play of that game, but the kickoff hit the returner in the head and bounced down, and Michigan recovered it. And one play later, 8 seconds into the game, it's hard to imagine you can kick off and have a 7-0 lead 8 seconds into the game, but that's exactly what happened. And then they played even 27-all the rest of the way. It's a Maryland team that was on the road and will be home to face Michigan State. So that doesn't sound too promising. We don't know about Talia Tungavaloa yet and his health, but either way, I think that Spartans are going to have their hands full. But anyway, we are in the process of preparing for basketball. I say we're not preparing yet. We're in the process of preparing. And yesterday, we heard from Tom Izzo for the first time as a media group and some individual discussions with him. But he met with the media, and then we got to watch a little bit of practice. And Deshaun, I know you would have loved to be there.
Yeah, I would have. And you know what? I almost came up for that, Jack. I caught myself getting ready to surprise you, to let you know that I was going to be able to make the trip. But, of course, I wasn't able to, so that's a whole different conversation. But I did have the ability to hear a little bit about it and him talking about, you know, the scheduling and so forth. And that probably doesn't surprise anyone. And doing the camping out, you know, this coming weekend. For the 26th time, they slept out. Plus, that's a pretty cool experience to, you know, bond with everybody. But, you know, he's looking forward to Midnight Madness on next weekend. Me too, if I could still make that happen. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, he definitely mentioned, you know, how much he likes his group, but they're a lot smaller than they typically are. And that's not something he really likes so much. And I can't say I'm in love with it either, but you go out there and you play the game. They say it's becoming a small, you know, people, you know, shrinking their, you know, not necessarily rotation, but the size of some of their players that they're putting on the floor. And as Golden State, sometimes you tend to win like that.
Yeah, and he went through that yesterday, Deshaun, and talked about the different lineups. And he could have a small lineup, but he could also have a pretty big lineup if he has Matty Sissoko and Joey Hauser and Malik Hall and Pierre Brooks at the two. And that would be one of the bigger lineups he has had. So he has a lot of flexibility with this. He doesn't have a lot of players on scholarship, but he's saying that, you know, that might be an advantage too, in a way, that he doesn't have so many mouths to feed, so many egos to satisfy. And I've seen a lot of teams be very successful, including Villanova, including Syracuse, playing six guys. So, you know, you need it for injuries, and I guess you need it for practice. He has a lot of guys out there, walk-on candidates, so he's not going to be short of guys dressed. But in terms of guys who actually play, there aren't many coaches in the country that play 10 players.
Yeah, that is true. And I'll tell you this much, and you mentioned one guy that I'm excited to look forward to seeing what he can do this year. Not just because of, you know, his amazing performances during the Moneyball program, but just in general, because another year under your belt can be nothing but help. And that's Pierre Brooks. With his size, his body, his physicality, and so forth, watched him, had some ability to, you know, put my eyes on him a little bit in the auxiliary gym over the summer and watch him shooting some jump shots. I know it looks a lot different when you have an actual person in front of your face and not just going around cones.
Right.
But he looks like he can get in there and can mix it up a little bit. I'd like to see what he looks like on the defensive end and his confidence level and so forth. And even just with that big body, get out there and defend some threes, maybe in a, you know, in a situation where maybe he can defend some fours, more so threes, obviously, but you never know. When Izzo calls your number, you know, you got to be ready to get in there and be physical, or you're going to be sitting right next to him for the remainder of it, no matter how sure he has to go on down on that rotation.
I think they have the potential, Deshaun, to be a very good shooting team. I say that because Jackson Kohler could be one of the best offensive centers. I say that offensive centers that they have had in a long time, and can score. He has some moves and things that he can do. Joey Hauser, we saw what he could do against Davidson and your man Foster Lawyer in the NCAA tournament. And I watched him yesterday, and he looks very confident. He looks like you're not thinking about it. He's just playing basketball, which has always been a little bit of a concern. And with Pierre Brooks, he is a natural shooter. He is a born shooter. But the best shooter on the team, believe it or not, might be Tyson Walker. And Tyson last year, you know what he shot from three-point range, Deshaun? Take a guess.
I'm going to go with 42%.
Try 47.3.
Wow.
That's one of the best in the country. And it's exactly what Sean Respert shot his senior year when he was National Player of the Year. So if you can shoot over 45%, now you don't hear about this much because Tyson Walker was what I call a reluctant shooter. I've seen quarterbacks in football who can run, but they don't. They choose not to. And Tyson Walker passed up so many shots. But when you have a guy who shoots better from three than he does from two, then you ought to be working to get him shots, and you ought to be telling him, I don't want you passing up any open looks. And, you know, if he had taken another 50 shots, Michigan State might have won three or four more games. So that's another thing that Tom Izzo has to play with. And he's going to need all of them, because this early schedule is the toughest I can recall. I've been watching Michigan State basketball closely since the late 60s. And I don't think before that there was ever a schedule quite like this one. And we don't even know who they're going to get in rounds two and three of the PK85 after they open with Alabama. You know, you could wind up with North Carolina there. So lots of things could come into play here to make this difficult schedule an impossible one.
Yeah, I know that UConn is up there somewhere. Oregon, yeah. I think, would be the next between one of those two teams.
Yeah.
But it's funny that we're even talking about this, because I feel like I heard something about this just recently. Is it's good that you have the guys that have all been able to come around, you know, that have played at Michigan State. And I feel like we talk about this quite a lot, but it's very simple. Not just a family atmosphere, but that is why you come here, to play anyone, anytime, anywhere, and so on and so forth. And we get that. I think that that's just, you know, these guys love to hear about going to the NBA. And people rag on Tom Izzo all the time about how, oh, well, you know, he changes the game and a lot of his players. And, you know, if you're not a 4-year player, maybe even 3-year in a best case scenario, probably not the most ideal, go to Michigan State and all this other kind of nonsense. But one thing that you do get a chance to do, whether you're there for, you know, 1 year or you're there for five, you're going to get a chance to play on some of the highest levels and get the opportunity to be seen on some of the biggest stages, non-conference, regular season, March Madness. Not everybody can say that they're what, second amongst those all time, or second amongst those right now for most consecutive NCAA appearances currently. Right. Not everybody can say that, and I think that's one of the benefits that oftentimes gets overlooked about playing at a program like a Michigan State under Tom Izzo.
Yeah, you do get to play Kansas. You get to play Kentucky and Duke and any team really around the country. Izzo's played them. There's none that he hasn't seen yet. So I would think that the argument about unless you're a 4-year player, that doesn't make much sense when you think of Zach Randolph. He was in school 1 year, went on, and he's the only player in Memphis Grizzlies history to have his number retired. When you think of Jaren Jackson Jr., and he was there 1 year. He did all right. I think he's going to be a star. He can stay healthy. You think about Jason Richardson. They've had a lot of guys who did not stick around the entire time. Now, maybe some of that is based on who you recruit, but I think he's back to trying to recruit guys who are going to be part of the Michigan State program, who it means as much to as it does to you, Deshaun.
Sure, absolutely. And it's all about that brand. I think he even mentioned that on yesterday, too, with, you know, making sure that he's landing the local guys and the guys that want to be here, the guys that are embracing the Michigan State style and everything that comes along with playing for Michigan State. And that's not – Michigan State's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, this isn't just I'm going to come in and I'm going to be one and done and this and that and give me the ball and I'm not going to have to play any defense. That's not what this is.
Right.
This is a leadership – a program that's built on leadership and a program that's built on – you know, consistently getting better and bonding with the peers and trying to make everyone around you better. It's not about me, me, me all the time. And that's what basketball is. It is 5-on-5. It's not 1-on-1 or 1-on-5. I think that that is a testament to, you know, what Tom Izzo has been able to put in place. And it's very rare that you see that in college basketball anymore, with so many coaches being players' coaches and not as much, you know, a man's man, if you will.
One thing that has not changed with him, Deshaun, is holding people accountable, including himself, and coaching them. And there's no question who is running the program, and it isn't any player. So if you want to be a player coach you're probably in the wrong place.
Sure.
And when I think about that now, there are so many places where players don't get coached hard. And they get in the NBA, and very seldom do they show dramatic improvement because the way the league is structured, you got game after game after game, you know, practices. It's hard to even get guys together to practice. So this is your chance to get better. Unless you think you're good enough right now to come out of high school or prep school, and you go right into the league and you don't need any coaching, your game's already perfect, then maybe Michigan State is not the place. But I think if you want to get better, Tom Izzo will help you do that. And one thing he said yesterday, and he made a point about this, and I was glad he did because he bent my ear on the phone the other night. One of the things that is going to be his whipping boy for the year is gambling. And, you know, he's been on Twitter, he's been on all these other things. Well, we see gambling everywhere now. I mean, you cannot drive down any street here in mid-Michigan and not see a billboard or turn on television and not hear a commercial for legalized gambling. Yeah. And it was a little more than 30 years ago, Deshaun, that I was part of a group that was summoned to Kansas City, Overland Park. And they brought in a group of about 15 media people around the country to talk about the evils of gambling. At that point, okay, it was not legal. But the big fear for the NCAA was not illegal inducements from boosters. It wasn't even academic improprieties, which I had always thought was the final barrier there, the one that the hill they would die on. It was gambling and what it could do with players throwing games, outcomes that had been manipulated. And I've gone back and I found three or four situations in the Big Ten I've seen where I think players might have been on the take. But they were so concerned that they were going to have a massive scandal, as they did with CCNY and Kentucky back in the early 50s, and what that did to college basketball. It basically set it back about a decade. So they're very, very concerned with that. And Izzo's take on it isn't even worried about that. He is concerned that now with so many people betting on games and point spreads, and he got a little bit of it last year. And if a player misses a free throw in a 15-point win and the number is 14.5, you would not believe the messaging that those players get. And, you know, people concerned about that. So he's on top of that list, and he thinks that people betting on the outcomes of games, not who wins a game, but by how much they win the game.
Correct.
Is posing a grave danger to the sport, and it's going to be very difficult for athletes to deal with because they're going to get so much blowback.
Yeah, I can see some of that, and you even – you know, hear about some of those situations which you didn't exactly say or alluded to per se, but, you know, I've even heard of situations where, you know, the death threats are coming behind and all sorts of stuff like that, you know, which is definitely uncalled for. We're talking about kids here, for crying out loud, but, you know, it's a new era, it's a new generation, you know, new things are coming about every single day, and you know, it's a concern, obviously, for Tom and for not only him, but probably for every coach, or probably, you know, just keeping the young guys so locked in to what they're actually here to do and to keep their eyes on the prize and then on the big picture. So it's just one of those things where I would imagine that it's just going to be another talking point for Tom Izzo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who, like you said, the Twitter and the social media and this and that. The gambling's a big deal.
Well, he still bashed Twitter. He took the opportunity. He's not going to pass up on that one. But
of course he did. Oh,
but gambling now is front and center. So, in fact, after his press conference, and he went about 45 minutes with this, someone said, well, he'll make a few remarks. And I laughed and I said, Tom Izzo's not capable of standing in front of a media group and making a few remarks. That just doesn't happen. So I said, let's see how long this goes. And then they went out to the Aux gym and started practice. And I walked by, and he immediately came over and launched into part two of that tirade. So,
okay.
You know, I kind of expected that. That's what I get.
If I could be a fly on the wall, Jack, if I could only be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll be around the program more. You will be that fly at many points, I'm sure. Let's talk about the NBA. And what do we have here with Media Day?
Can you hear me, Jack?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, we're getting closer, obviously, to the NBA season. Media Day is always a big deal, and people are always going to ask some of the silly questions, some of the smart ones, more of the silly ones sometimes. It's always fun to be able to interact with the players and so forth. But one thing I took away, you guys and guys have been really working on their body and really in some peculiar situations. Two guys, per se, in mind more than anyone.
Yeah.
And that is James Harden and Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time that we saw, you know, I did hear of, you know, James Harden mentioning he lost 100 pounds, which I think is great. He didn't share much of it over here. I can tell you that much right now, Jack. Would have been a nice thought, but kind gesture. But, you know, I think that's something that was.
Why don't they just go on the DeSean Tate diet? Would that
I
work?
I don't know, you know. And bring some money with you. Don't bring the pounds. Bring the money along with you, Jack. But I'll say as much to say that I thought that was something that's needed and necessary as, you know, James Harden, who's now a veteran in this league and going to continue to. Question marks are still out there about him being a winner and winning in the postseason and so forth. And obviously trying to get some more money in his pocket, hoping that this isn't his last big-time contract on his hands. Coming up, so that's something that's significant and big. And I listened to him earlier on this morning on the Sports Talk radio show on Sirius XM NBA. He seems like he's all in, and also being showing some of the more leadership qualities that he has with like the Tyrese Maxeys and so forth, and wanting to lead by example. So, hence why he felt like he needed to lose some of that weight. The other guy is Zion Williamson. If we could just get half. I'm telling you, Jack, I've told so many people this. If we don't get at least half of what we think Zion Williamson can be, I think it'll be a huge disappointment to the NBA and the diehard fans that love this sport and love basketball in general. He's slimmed down. He looks great. He looks fantastic.
How much has he lost?
To see him out there. I don't know how much he's lost. I don't know that much, but it is a very significant amount. He's still going to be a pretty big guy anyway. I say all that for a reason to say that one thing about him, when he's out there on that floor, he's giving it all he's got. The question is about how often you get a chance to see him on that floor.
Right.
But if he could just stay healthy, which is the elephant in the room, no pun intended, then I do think that some really good things can come out of this New Orleans team that did definitely surge in the postseason.
Well, look what they did last year without him and how dangerous they were. Brandon Ingram improved so much. Now you got two dookies like that in the front court. Could be a very dangerous team, maybe a surprise team to contend out there. I know there are a lot of teams that are saying, hey, we're there too, don't forget about us. But I really like the direction New Orleans is going. You mentioned two players, DeSean. Before we let you go, you're an NBA GM, and assuming you have Zion healthy, and you have James Harden involved and trying to win and really invested in it, you can only have one of those players for this season. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Zion Williamson. Did I say that too quickly?
No.
I might have answered too fast. I'm taking Zion Williamson on that one. Just he's so much. I'm talking about hybrid. You start thinking about Grandmama and a little pinch of Charles Barkley, and you got a little bit of Julius Randle with the left hand and mobility. I think he's on track. Must see live in person. TV doesn't do it any justice.
Yeah, and you know what? We can always say we saw Zion's last college game.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. It was enjoyable for Hawks Media Day as well with DeJounte Murray coming. They're calling it DeJounte now, Jack. So people are excited here in ATL, not just for the Bulldogs, but for the Hawks as well.
I think you two ought to do something together, DeJounte and DeSean T., put you two together, right? And, you know, it could be quite the tandem.
Yeah, or how about a three-piece trio to that? DeJounte and DeJounte.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Hey, we will see you, I think, in a couple of weeks. Your plan is to be here for MSU Madness. That would be October 7th, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so a week from Friday, there will be a DeJounte Tate sighting in Lansing. For those of you who would like to get his autograph, this is your opportunity.
Sighting.
Sighting and signing, either one. You know, name, image, and likeness with DeJounte. I'm sure he'll cooperate. Thanks so much, DeJounte. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jack. You as well. Thank you.
Yeah.